Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. TD joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. TD, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, good morning. How's everything?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So TD, I want to start on the Derrick Henry front, because we've talked about so many different things this offseason with him, from, you know, a Football Outsiders piece talking about, you know, maybe he's on the decline. I think Bill Barnwell at ESPN put out a piece of him being on the decline. And I always sit back and think to myself, like, I understand why people think that based on the position. And I'm not saying that he's for sure going to come back and be the Derrick Henry that we have been accustomed to seeing, but there's something about that guy that just feels different to me. What do you make of this idea that's been out there that Derrick Henry is just on the decline, from multiple kind of sources of that this offseason?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of them were looking at the average yards per carry he had before he got injured, and they kind of calculated their decision based off of that he was on a decline. But what a lot of these people seem is that he was on the best start ever of his career in a season. And a lot of times what ends up happening each year is his production really peaks as the years go on. You can go back to 2018, you look at the December he had, and that's a good example. I mean, he had almost 600 rushing yards in December. So I get what they're doing, but I think, you know, this is a case where you have to look at more than just numbers, and sometimes we get too caught up, not we, sometimes they get too caught up in numbers and end up coming to a wrong conclusion. I think there's still a lot left for Derrick Henry. I'm not saying he's going to be a 2,000-yard rusher this year, but I would not be surprised if he, you know, rushes for 15 to 1,600 yards.
Yeah, I would agree. And I understand all the one piece about the missed and broken tackles I thought was interesting. I mean, there's some correlation there, but I don't know, man. I thought he looked pretty good last year before he got hurt. Now, of course, with the injury, it's going to make it a fascinating storyline this year. And TD, another one is, of course, Jeff Simmons. We've talked a lot about it, especially since, you know, his press conference last week and everything. But my question for you on him is, do you believe that if John Robinson decides to really get serious talking about, you know, redoing his deal this summer, that should or will result in a bit more team-friendly of a deal? My idea there being, you know, if you're going to do something 2 years early and you're going to be willing to entertain that financial security that of course that second deal would give Jeffrey Simmons, that it should probably be a little bit more team friendly as well, because the Titans obviously don't have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the deal will likely be a little more team friendly, but at the same time, his agents, the guys that he has, his team, they're not stupid. They're not going to agree to a deal that is similar to one that a guy like DeForest Buckner agreed to 2 years ago. I think that deal, if it's done, is going to still have to approach 90 to 95 million, and I think it's going to have a $25 million average at least. And you got to look at a high amount of guaranteed money.
Teron Davenport on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So to that point, TD, do you think that that's something that the Titans will do this offseason? Is that a priority for John Robinson, or do you think that this could drag on a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's going to drag on, but I don't think a deal gets done this year. But rest assured, before free agency hits, they will have a deal done next year. That's something I'm very confident in, but I don't think they get something done. It's tough to do that because you don't want to set a precedent where, you know, guys could just start getting deals 2 years, you know, left on their current one.
Yeah, I hear that. But, I mean, I also think that Jeffrey Simmons is different, right? I mean, John Robinson hasn't signed any of his first-round picks to second deals.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's an issue. So you think that he's ultimately going to end up just playing on this year, and then they'll do the more traditional redo it going into his final year?
Yeah, and that's my belief.
See, I just – with that, how do you think – you know, look, Jeffrey Simmons is a pro. And, you know, at some point, like, you have to play, you know. But how do you think – if that's how it goes and the Titans are just basically like, well, you know, it's just not the time, do you think there will be any sort of holdout or anything from him during camp?
No, I don't think there'll be a holdout. He may not you know, be a full participant every day in training camp, but I don't think there'll be a holdout. And here's the thing. If he doesn't sign the deal, you know, and he plays on that really low salary, was a the salary is $2.2 million or something along those lines, but collectively I think the cash is $4.02 million.
Yeah.
He's gambling and betting upon himself. And I think with that being said, he'll do the things necessary to be ready to have a productive year and one that will warrant a contract in the $95 to $100 million range. You know what I mean? And I think more or less the approach will likely be, hey, I mean, the discount was already given in 2022. There's no shorts being taken. This is the contract, and, you know, that's where it's going to go.
Kenny, we've thrown this around a couple of different times this week, and I'm interested to get your take on it. As you look at Tannehill, not knowing what's going to happen with Malik Willis, which is obviously a huge part of this story, but what does Ryan Tannehill just by himself have to do this year for you to convince you that he's the starting quarterback for the Titans in 2023?
Yeah, I think he has to get back to managing the game and doing a good job of that. And with that comes not turning the football over and just executing the game plan. And, you know, the hero ball and all that stuff, it isn't absolutely necessary. When it's time to make the throws, make them. But, you know, play within the game plan. I think that's really what he has to do. And the main thing is protecting the football.
What do you think of Tannehill as a leader?
You know, I actually don't have the leadership questions that – some may have. I think, you know, you watch him during practice, you look at him during install period, right? He's there at the top of the route, you know, showing them how he wants them to come out of their breaks against this coverage or that coverage. He's going through different things with the receivers, with the tight ends. You see him doing some instructional work with Malik Willis after, you know, certain reps during individual period. You see him going to the players, whoever the pass catcher may be, you know, after snaps on 7-on-7 or team period. I think he is definitely a leader. And, I mean, even you look at him, you know, the mic'd up thing that we got to watch. You know what I mean? They break it down. Come on, let's go get some weights. You know, I think that is a leader.
TD, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us today. I do want to say, for those that may have missed it, Diana Russini put together a very nice piece about Teron Davenport for Father's Day. That was very enjoyable to read. I enjoyed it a lot. So, TD, obviously we knew this already, but you're a very good guy. We appreciate you joining us every week.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys. Definitely shout out to Diana for doing that post. But and I appreciate you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, talking Titans. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including a report coming up that maybe there have already been some preliminary contract discussions with another member of the 2019 draft class. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Teron Davenport for joining us in the last segment. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexford, we've spent a lot of time talking about Jeffrey Simmons, obviously, with how big of a deal he is to this Titans defense and how big his actual deal could be whenever that time comes. First off, I want to start with this. What's your reaction to the idea that TD threw out there of he kind of feels like the Titans are going to let this thing play out, play through this season, and by the time free agency comes around next year, there will be a deal done with Jeffrey Simmons?
Well, if it worked out that way, I wouldn't be shocked, but I think he laid out perfectly why I would be thinking about doing it now if I was the Titans. Now you're talking about someone another year older, and now you're going to do the super mega deal because he has this huge 2022 season. Maybe he won't. Maybe a lot of things happen, but that's certainly a possibility, right? If I had to guess, you had 3, 4, 5 different options for this season, and one of them is Jeffrey Simmons has a career year playing for his second deal, I'd probably punch that one. Anybody can get hurt any time, but that would be my prediction. And if that's the case, now you have someone a year older, and you're gonna pay, I think, potentially significantly more money to that person if you wait. Whereas, again, I like the idea of the security now, the exception made for you because you're a special player, and then, you know, lets the Titans off the hook overall. The sum of the deal is a little bit easier on the club. I think it's worth entertaining that, and I kind of responded to TD on the whole setting a precedent thing. I just, you know, there just aren't going to be many situations like this. And I don't think everybody's going to expect to start having these deals done way in advance.
I don't think they are either, but I will say, like, if you're a first round pick of the Titans and you play really well and you know that they've given a deal to Jeffrey Simmons, I'm at least asking for this after 3 years. And if they don't give it to you, that probably makes me pretty mad at the time. You know, people, I understand, and I agree with you. Jeffrey Simmons is a special situation, but how many times in sports do people overinflate themselves and think that, well, you gave Jeffrey Simmons a deal, why not give me a deal?
Well, sure. I'm sure Rashawn Evans wishes the Titans gave him a fifth-year option.
I'm talking about somebody even other than that. Like you play, you're a first-round, let's just say Treylon Burks. You're Treylon Burks, you play really well. You're not like Jeffrey Simmons level dominant, you know, relative to your position, but you play well. You're looking around and you're saying, okay, well, you gave Jeffrey Simmons a deal after 3 years. Why not me? Am I not important? Like, I could see that happen.
Yeah, I could see it happen. My answer, if I'm the Titans, is look at our history, one person. And I would say if he truly isn't dominant, like you just said there, he's good, but he's not dominant. I would say Jeffrey Simmons was dominant and was probably the number two player at his position in the league. You are number what at receiver in the league? I mean, in this hypothetical. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yes, now you have that on the books. Like, you guys have done this. So if you have done this, then certainly you must be willing to do it again. I get it. But I think overall the benefits of this would outweigh the costs if you can get that deal to be a little bit friendlier to you.
Now, there's another conversation that Terry McCormick threw out there yesterday at TitanInsider.com. We spent a lot of time talking about Jeffrey Simmons, but Terry McCormick throws out the question, should the Titans consider extending Imani Hooker and David Long, who, of course, were also a part of the 2019 draft class? And the difference being, of course, neither one of those guys have a fifth-year option because they were not first-round picks. So
right.
You would have to – they're entering into the final year of their contract this season. And, you know, Terry McCormick did say in this piece, quote, some preliminary conversations about an extension for Hooker have taken place in recent weeks, but if anything materializes soon, it would likely take place between the start of training camp and the opening of the regular season. So what do you make of that? And what do you make of the idea of potentially extending Amani Hooker and or David Long?
Yeah, well, that again, that this is the exact timeline for that. So, I mean, look, the thing is, man, and especially when you look at David Long, that guy is going to make like a McDonald's bag with 2 quarter pounders just north of $1 million this year, you know? I mean, it's a pretty sweet deal for the Titans. And look, it's also good on them for finding a player of his caliber where they did. That's one of the great benefits of it. But it's also like, if you're him, I mean, I think he's going to be a starter, and I think he's going to be really good this year. And so I'm sure he would love a deal. And look, it is one of those situations where, although the rest of the league seems to, the media around the league seem to not know his name or who he is, or they think he's like the Rams cornerback.
Yeah. Still one of the most amazing parts of this offseason.
Yeah. Yeah. The I promise you there are GMs around the league who know who he is. So he's a guy who could really help himself here if he keeps playing like this. If he takes another step as a player, I mean, he's just a playmaker out there. He's just a natural football player, the playmaker, and he's another great example of, you know, size has its limitations when it comes to predicting what someone will be in the NFL. Now, I don't know for sure that he's going to take another step, but I think the Titans are pretty happy and excited with that combo inside, and that would make sense. Hooker is, so let's see, Hooker's looking at 2.5 base salary. This is over the cap, you know, 180K bonus, basically 2.7 this year. And I like Hooker. I think it makes sense to look at an extension. I'm not, he's a starting quality player. He was good. It worked out perfectly last year that he stepped in that spot. Where does he go from here? I think he's a solid player in the league. You know, so what does that kind of deal look like? You know, I don't know. I think it's worth exploring. And I think that Hooker and Byard work well together. And if you can sign up for a couple more years of that, that's good for you.
I just want to point out in the PFF 2019 NFL draft redraft that I threw out there the other day, they had AJ Brown at 3. They had Jeffrey Simmons at 5. They did have Amani Hooker in the first round in the redraft in 2019.
No kidding.
They did.
Okay.
It was like 28 or something, but it was late.
I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but he's a good player. I mean, look, it's a great value in the fourth round. And there's another guy. I mean, those two guys are kind of in a similar spot in terms of what if they keep getting better? You know, that's what you just don't know sometimes with players is, like at some point you kind of reach like the best you're going to be. And that's who you are. And even if that's the case with both of them, like I think Titans are happy to have both of them as starters. But what if, what if Hooker's going to keep getting better?
They had, what does that mean? They had Amani Hooker at number 25 to the Eagles.
Okay.
One spot ahead of Hollywood Brown, 3 spots ahead of Hunter Renfrow, and 5 spots ahead of Darnell Savage, the other safety that they had in the first round. So there you go.
Interesting. We can't have too much PFF content this show.
So. Anytime I can bring up PFF, I do it just for you. I know how much you love.
Hey, again, PFF, they do some things that are they have some value. That there's some use. Anybody who's willing to go through and count up deflections and all these different things, that's fine. Just do away with the instant offensive and defensive line grades, and I don't hate you.
I knew we'd get this on the text line, but it did not stop me from laughing anyway. Keith on the text line said, Rex Rowe, quote, I like hookers, end quote.
Big, big hooker guy here, you know? Big hooker guy.
Mike on the text line says, Robbie dropping some redraft PFF golden nuggets. This is the only show in town. It's going to talk about that, I promise you.
That's right. We're the only show that's going to be honest with you. while reading the PFF redraft.
That's right.
On June 24th.
Dennis on the text line says, if they sign Simmons now, it won't set a precedent. AJ was a special player, and the Titans shipped him out. The precedent is it's an individual case basis. It's coming from Dennis on the text line, also known as Joe.
Yeah, that's the thing. I typically agree with most of what Dennis says, and I do here too. Yeah, because you could point to that one and say, ooh, watch out. You know, they're going to get rid of you. Although, again, I guess you could look at it like A.J. Brown wanted to be traded to Philly and was traded to Philly. But, yeah, it's – yeah, that one just – and it's also like if you're worried about precedents and stuff in this league, as a player in this league, guess what? You just got cut while you were worrying about it. Like, you know, that's this league is – it is a cold, hard reality league for the labor, you know? Yep. So, yeah, I just – I wouldn't worry too much about that. Now, how much of a – now, I don't know if the Titans – maybe Simmons' team is like, no, that sweet deal is happening now. Well, then, okay. Then, if I'm John Robinson, I say, okay, well, then we'll talk to you in a year.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be willing to come a little bit my way if we're going to talk about this. But I certainly would entertain it if I was John Robinson. I think he has to.
We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Also get to an interesting report from Josina Anderson about maybe what the future for Baker Mayfield could look like. All that ahead. I got some tickets to give away to see the Ally 400 coming up on Sunday at the Nashville Super Speedway. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, caller number 3. We'll win a pair of tickets to this Sunday's NASCAR Cup Series race, the Ally 400, coming up at the Nashville Super Speedway, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Today, 1025 The Game will be out at Nissan Stadium in the South Plaza from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. as Monster Jam is set to announce something big. Make sure you check out Monster Jam coming up this weekend at Nissan Stadium. For every 5 non-perishable items donated, fans will receive 1 complimentary ticket to this Saturday's Monster Jam coming up at Nissan Stadium. Tickets available for the first 250 donations on site while supplies last. A limit of 4 complimentary vouchers per family / household. For more information, visit MonsterJam.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, we did not get to this yesterday, but I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. Josina Anderson putting a tweet out there a couple of days ago that says, quote, I'm told the Seahawks still have a high level of interest in acquiring quarterback Baker Mayfield, and behind the scenes are open to contractually extending him per league source. I also know that the process of collecting information and insights into Mayfield is still ongoing. This coming from Josina Anderson. So what do you make of that report that says the Seahawks, quote, have a high level of interest in acquiring Baker Mayfield and are maybe even open to contractually extending him as well?
Well, it helps ease my fears that Pete Carroll has completely lost his mind. So kudos to you, Pete. This happens sometimes, you know, a team has a plan in mind and they have a terrible personnel situation and they say, oh yeah, we're excited about this situation. Come on, Drew Locke and Geno, there we go. Yeah.
Who wouldn't be excited?
Yeah. So it just never made sense. Like, let's sign up to be god awful. How about that? And I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by Baker in Seattle. You know, Baker in Seattle, here's a hot take for you, okay?
Okay.
Just get ready for this one. Baker in Seattle could actually end up being a better tenure than Russell Wilson in Denver.
Do what?
Hey, it's hot take Friday, okay? I'm saying that you know, you got to take into account the ages of both players. I'm a little worried about Russ breaking down, man.
Okay.
So, and look, I'm also on the flip side of that. Baker is younger. Yeah, he's got growing up to do all that stuff. But last year's performance, I look at a guy who was very injured, who had serious issues, and still was out there gutting it out, and at times absolutely sucked, no question. But I think if he can get healthy, get past that at his age, I like his chance a little better than Russ. And I like Seattle's culture a little bit better than I like Denver's. Okay. So yeah, again, put me down for that. And Pat, in fact, there's I was just typing up some called shots. And let me just call that shot right now. Baker Mayfield in Seattle, which of course I'm now making the leap that it's actually going to happen. Yeah. But it has to, right? Like it has to happen.
You would think.
Baker Mayfield in Seattle will win more games than Russell Wilson will win in Denver. Okay? How's that? How's that? Is that take smoking for you?
It's pre-smoking.
Okay. Put me down.
All right.
June 24th, 2022. Now, you know, this will be years from now.
So
in the future, we're going to be interns for the Stilly and Pauly show. Yes, but I will absolutely.
they might let us talk for 2 minutes for each show.
Hey, guy, will you get me another coffee, Joe? Come on, hurry up.
Got a point I was about to make, and I don't even remember it. Oh, here it was. Do you think that this has been like the Seahawks master plan the whole time? Like, has Pete Carroll been, I want Baker Mayfield, by God. You got to go get him. Has this been the plan from the beginning since Russell Wilson got shipped out?
That's a great question. I don't know. But there has to be – I mean, I would hope yes. Like this or something like this. Yes, I would hope so, right?
Well, I'm sure the plan's been something. Drew Lock is not an
NFL quarterback.
Yeah, like I'm sure the plan has been a quarterback that's not named Geno Smith or Drew Lock. But I'm curious if they've just been like, we want Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Like that's been their guy.
We want Baker and let's – now. Granted, you can make the case, just like we're sitting here talking about this Titan or that Titan in the spring and the importance and all that stuff. You make the case like, gosh, you might want to, you know, get your intended quarterback in at some point in your uniform, into your building, into your playbook, right? But I could buy it. I could buy that just from a business perspective. They've gone about it this way somewhat on purpose.
Viking Matt on the text line says Joe is hitting the sauce a little bit early. It's coming from Viking Matt on the text line. Phil on the text line says,
this is only coffee in this beautiful mug.
Yes. Phil on the text line says, Joe, don't trash my boy Drew Lock, you poo eater. It's coming from Phil on the text line. I did not know that people were so passionate about Drew Lock.
Yeah, what's up with the poo eater?
I don't know.
You're a poo eater.
That was very strange, Joe.
we're the only show in town.
It's going to be honest about poo eating.
Okay? Can you imagine if they don't get Baker, though, and it is Drew Lock and or Geno Smith as the starting quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks? I'm here for it.
I'm assuming Phil is like a Mizzou fan or something. Yeah, I mean.
Probably.
I mean, come on. It's just – I think we've seen enough, haven't we?
You would think.
I like their new running back, but you can't live on running the ball alone.
Marcus Mariota is the quarterback in Atlanta, so I guess anything can happen.
Okay, Mariota hater. So those three guys, you have a choice to be your starting quarterback. Who are you choosing
between Drew Lock, Geno Smith, and Marcus?
Yeah.
I'm probably going Marcus. I don't know if I'd have said that this time a week ago, but ever since Facebook randomly decided to put a video of Marcus throwing the ball in my Facebook feed, because I guess that's what I like. I guess I'll go with Marcus now.
Okay, but seriously, you actually would consider either of the other two over him?
I would not consider Geno Smith, no, at all. I would have thought about Drew Lock, but I'd probably still go Marcus.
You and Phil and the Drew Lock fan club. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not going to lie and say I watched a ton of Drew Lock in the NFL, but I did not see a starting NFL quarterback when
He's not very good.
And Marcus, fringe starter. Okay, that's the reality of Marcus. But I'll take a chance on Marcus's athleticism, playmaking. He has actually had some success in this league. He actually has had full good seasons in this league, unlike Drew Lock, who never will. Sorry, Phil.
Well, I mean, we may get a chance to find out. Marcus, he's on the list in terms of NFL Comeback Player of the Year that you could get in the preseason.
Oh, he's got a chance, man.
He's got a chance.
Oh, there's no doubt. If he actually just starts the full season, I know, like, our guy Josh Kendall, The Athletic, just wrote a piece about how he expects Desmond Ridder to actually compete with him. I don't think Desmond Ridder is going to take the starting job before the season. Certainly, you know how this goes. Marcus has a couple bad games in a row, and it's mid-October, and they're 2-6. Okay, well, then that all goes out the window, and at some point the rookie comes in. But if Marcus can quarterback the whole year and they can be a 500-ish team, I think it's almost a lock that he's comeback player of the year.
There are five players that are ahead of Marcus on FanDuel Sportsbook in terms of comeback player of the year. Do you think you can guess the five?
Five players have
better odds.
The
comeback player of the year on FanDuel as we sit here today. One of them is very easy and is not that far away from where we are now.
Well, yeah, so Derrick Henry is one of them.
Derrick Henry is number one on the list at plus 350.
Yeah. That makes sense. I honestly hadn't even thought of him in those terms because he didn't have a quote unquote bad year. You know, he got hurt, but obviously a lot of times comeback player of the year is exactly that. I mean, would Matt Ryan be on there?
I do not see him on here, but there is a quarterback that is on here right behind Derrick Henry.
Because I think about, well, I mean, I think about Baker Mayfield. I think about Jimmy Garoppolo.
One of those.
People who have been discarded. So basically, this is – we're talking about injury. This is not Brady, right?
It's Jameis.
Jameis. Oh, yep. God, of course it's Jameis.
Yep. So Jameis is number two. Michael Thomas is number three, which I totally forgot about.
A strong bet.
Yeah. Daniel Jones is number four and Christian McCaffrey is number five.
Yeah.
So Trubisky and Mariota tied at six best odds at plus 1200 ahead of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. I love being in the same discussion as Mitch Trubisky. So explain Daniel Jones to me.
He's
this isn't good. So now maybe how could you be comeback player of the year if you've never been good? What I mean?
That is a great point. I mean, he did only play in 11 games last year, so I guess the injury part of it. But, I mean, he lit it up in those 11 games. 2,400 yards, 10 touchdowns, 7 picks, 6.7 an attempt. And how could you not put him in the comeback of the year thought? I mean, he starts against the Titans, so we're going to find out.
What about Cam Newton? Is he anywhere on there?
I am not seeing him.
How about – here, I got one. How about Julio Jones? I mean, yes, that, yeah, we're talking about, you know, like you have to have teams first to be even on the list. But what if Julio, someone's going to sign him?
Julio is not on the list. Maybe they're waiting for him to sign with a team. But let me tell you, maybe that's a good.
That might be a nice value.
Somebody. Wouldn't it be the most Titans thing ever for him to like sign with, I don't know, the Chargers and just go light it up?
Yeah. Well, it's just like Clowney. Goes to Cleveland. Huge sack year, PFF darling. So it would be very on brand.
Coming up next, it is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your called shots on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your bold predictions at 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5-106.3 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we'll take your bold predictions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, would you like to kick us off and give us a quick recap of our called shots last week?
All righty. Well, let's see. Now, of course, last week we did have Elijah jump in. So let's go through Elijah's here. Elijah said the Arkansas Omahawks will win it all. And that did not happen. It is Ole Miss, Oklahoma for the title starting Saturday. He said the Avs will dethrone the Lightning. I don't know if that's a huge called shot, but hey, you know, he was new at this, and he's going to end up being right. So good for you there, Elijah. And the Cincinnati Reds won't finish as the worst team in the National League, which they seem to have really responded to Michelle's prediction.
Yeah.
I think you actually put the chip on their shoulder. So we'll see on that one. I went Tigers will fire GM Al Avila soon. Still waiting on that one any day now, guys. You know, you're only about 3 years too late on that. Braden Point will have the game-winning goal for the Lightning in whatever the game that they were about to play then. That didn't happen. And I said Stanford over Notre Dame in the final series. Of course, both of them had pretty brief stays. It's very disappointing on the Stanford front, the best remaining team after Tennessee got bounced, which, again, keeps showing you. This tournament, very, very unpredictable.
By the way, Notre Dame just lost their coach, Link Jarrett, hired by Florida State.
Yeah. And by the way, when they were in Knoxville, several of the media members of Notre Dame were like, yeah, he's already agreed to the deal. And then we got to listen to Link Jarrett say, well, you know, I just want to talk about my players and blah, blah, blah. But this is how you must handle things when you're in that situation. Michelle said game two, Tampa Bay will shut out the Avs. That did not happen. That's a shot. That was a shot, though.
That was opposite day.
You got beat 7-0 in that one.
She was only, that's one TD, you know? I mean, that's a low scoring football game. Notre Dame will win the College Baseball World Series. We were all loving Notre Dame, and then quickly it was another reminder for the Vols that they should have been in Omaha. Deshaun Watson will have less than a year of suspension. So we're going to see on that. That would be, to me, disappointing to see the NFL do that.
Yep.
But I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to be wrong. You have Baker Mayfield to the Panthers before camp starts. So we'll see. That still could happen. And then, the shot, of course, the Vols baseball team will have more wins than the Reds at the end of the season, so we'll track that. 57. There you go. All right. So there you go.
With that in mind, Michelle Knezovic, would you like to kick us off today with your called shots of the week?
I would love to, guys. Okay, so obviously keep the Reds one. We know that they are going to beat that, or they're going to stay under that 57-game mark. Next, Jeffrey Simmons will sign his big contract before camp starts. So that's just about a month away.
I like that.
Philip Forsberg will sign with the Nashville Predators on July 12th, right before NHL free agency on the 13th.
Yep.
Ole Miss will win the College Baseball World Series, and Lane Kiffin will run around the bases afterwards.
I can see that.
And then lastly, Steven Stamkos will have a hat trick, but the Avs will win the Stanley Cup 5-3.
So starting tonight's game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tonight's game.
All three from Stammer, but Colorado gets it
but
done.
But unfortunately, it won't be enough.
Okay. I like that. Joe Rexroad, your called shots of the week.
All right. Well, let's stick with the Stanley Cup final. Tampa Bay will win tonight. They will win game six. They will then lose game seven. They will stretch this. They will show the heart of a champion. They will ultimately fall. But I think we have more drama ahead per my called shots.
I like it.
I will repeat. Baker Mayfield in Seattle will win more games than Russell Wilson will win in Denver. We don't even know he's going to be in Seattle, but hey, you know what? Remember that called shot if it comes true, so or just even if it's possible.
Just for clarity's sake, for this, for the purposes of this called shot, are you saying next season or in general?
In general.
Okay.
I mean, part of this is age.
Yeah.
And a little bit of concern about Russ's durability moving forward. Jabari Smith will have a better NBA career than both Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren. I had to go. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people would probably agree with the first. I think some, you know, Chet Holmgren's really interesting, but I just think Jabari Smith is just lock him in as a about right around a 20 point a game guy. He's today's NBA. You can switch him. He has demonstrated the ability to be a defender at the NBA level. He will have a better career than those two. And finally, I will watch at least 15 Detroit Pistons games next season, which is about my total for the past, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. That's a shot.
Yeah.
But Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren joining Cade Cunningham and Isaiah Stewart.
They got Kemba too, didn't they?
They did get Kemba, which is a, you know, pick up that contract. And yeah, I mean, it's not like he's, I mean, he can still play. Actually kind of can't wait to watch them play. Jaden Ivey is like, I don't know if he's going to be a great player, but he's that super, super athletic guy who sometimes goes to the NBA and it's just like that just suits him way better than college basketball. He was great at Purdue. Not saying he's John Morant, because John Morant was a pure point guard who creates for people. I mean, he has the point guard feel that's incredible. But Jaden Ivey is going to be that guy who – is dunking all over everybody. If you haven't seen him play, his explosion from point A to point B is he's going to be in the top, like, low percentage of the NBA already, boom, day one. So, yeah, kind of excited.
So are you willing to call a Golden State-Detroit final next year? And if so, who are you rooting for?
Yeah, that is curious. Who would you root for, Joe?
I'd root for Golden State.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you get attached to people.
What a betrayal.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but if the Pistons actually made it that far, I mean, come on.
I'm sorry.
Now, you're never allowed to talk about Isaiah Thomas again.
No, I was going to say, like, if my bad boys played this Golden State team, that's a different story, but it's not them, you know? I'm sorry. It's about people.
That's right. All right, real quickly, my called shots of the week. Julio Jones will sign with the Indianapolis Colts.
Ooh.
Julio Jones will sign with the Indianapolis Colts. There's a natural fit there with he and Matt Ryan. And I still think the Colts need another wide receiver. So Julio Jones signs with the Indianapolis Colts. Game-winning goal tonight by Victor Hedman. The Lightning stay alive in game five, a one-goal game. But Victor Hedman, the game-winning goal tonight. Sometimes things line up too perfectly. And I kind of feel like that's what's happening with Colorado at home tonight. I looked yesterday, the cheapest ticket on StubHub was $1,450 or $65. So everybody just is naturally assuming they're going to win tonight at home.
Yes.
Maybe a good assumption. I'm going with Tampa tonight in game five. And finally, my final called shot, I alluded to this a little bit earlier. David Poile will make a draft day trade for a top six forward. David Poile makes a draft day trade on July 7th for a top six forward. So everybody's talking about free agency outside of Forsberg. I think it's going to be a trade, and he does it on draft day. So that will be my final call shot.
I like them.
So we'll see what happens on that front. Andrew from Dover says, Arch Manning will stay at Texas 1 year, wait for Bryce Young to leave Bama, and transfer to Bama. Roll Tide. He's coming from Andrew from Dover on the text line. And it's funny that Andrew brings up Arch Manning, because coming up next – we'll be joined by Ari Wasserman from The Athletic, who covers college football. We'll get his thoughts on Arch Manning to Texas and all things college football. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.